We are here. We are live at the best damn sports show. What's that, Indian Park, guys? Can you guys help me out?
Period.
Oh, there it is.
Come on. Period. BDSSP, baby.
Okay, so I got some questions here. Ian, are you dating anyone or anything?
Yes, I am.
How's your love life going?
Good. 3.5 years strong.
Okay. Well, okay. That's pretty good. All right, that's Ian. He's also here. Then we got Estelle. Estelle, introduce yourself. And do you have anything love going on in your life?
No love. That's all.
She loves the money. That's what it is. She loves the money.
Tyrick. He's also here. What's up?
Yes.
What's your love life going for you?
I've been with my girlfriend for almost 4 years now. So.
Wow. See? That's pretty good. Okay. And Jack back there at the operating the boards.
Hello, I'm Jack. I've been with my girlfriend for 2 years as of June 1st.
Wow. And you almost skipped school for an anniversary. What was that anniversary?
It was our two-year anniversary, but it was a couple days off because she had work, so we were going to do something else. But I came in to school anyway.
Yeah, good job.
Proud of you.
Well, I've been married for 10 years. I have four kids, but I don't know if I should say this, but I have a bigger love in my life. And that is the Denver Nuggets, baby. And we're in the finals. That's what we're leading up to. The Denver Nuggets are in the finals. Have you guys heard any news at all going up to this game tonight?
I mean,
nothing out of the ordinary that we didn't already know. Tyler Hero's still out.
Yep,
Tyler Hero's still out. All the Nuggets are supposed to be there. They're healthy. Same starting five as that we've had in the past. So I don't expect anything different.
It's a 1-1 series, and the Nuggets are going to South Beach, Miami. Miami, I mean, they've got so many things going on, especially today, that I don't think they even care about the game in Miami.
Oh, the fans, absolutely not.
No, I mean, with the whole Messi thing.
They barely
thing
care
that
just anyway.
Happened.
No, we'll get to the Messi thing. Hold on. Put that stuff underneath your belt right now.
The news of the finals right now is basically Eric Spoelstra and the Heat have figured out the Nuggets and are going to do well and all this and all that. But, I mean, we all know that the Nuggets are the better team. They just have to execute.
Oh, absolutely. So let's break this game down from quarter to quarter, okay? First quarter, game starts. First of all, Tyrick, who wins the tip-off?
You know, that's a hard one. I'm going to go with the Nuggets winning the tip-off. So.
Okay, all right. Anyone objections to that?
I've got Miami. They've won the last two.
I do too, yeah.
I don't think Jokic tries very hard to get the
Well, here's
the thing. Do his little.
Well, because the other thing is the Nuggets come out of the third quarter so well, they like having the ball first in the second half. So let Miami win it.
Oh, just like football, prefer to defer, right?
Pretty much.
Okay, all right. So first quarter. Who's taking the first quarter? Is it the Heat? Or is the Nuggets? Are the Nuggets going to come out firing, or the Miami's going to come out firing?
I totally think it's going to be the Nuggets, and I think this is bold prediction. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, but I think it's going to be not only led by Jokic passing, but AG scoring and MPJ scoring. Those guys need to get out to a hot start. You need the role players to play well tonight. Jokic's points will come. Murray's points will come. You got to see them shots go down for Gordon and MPJ. Yep. And I think the Nuggets will have a 10-point lead after the first quarter.
Okay. So what do you think your score predictions are then?
For the game, first quarter, I think the Nuggets will be up 33-23. I think they're going to have a great defensive first quarter. They're going to hit some big shots led by a bunch of the role players are going to have great games and hit some early shots to get the Nuggets going. And then they'll be off and rolling 10-point lead after the first. They just have to continue to keep it.
All right. Tarek, what you got?
I think in the first quarter, I'm going to call it a tie. I'm going to go with the tie.
You're that person, huh?
I'm going to go with the tie.
He's not alone in that thought process either.
I think they're both going to be going at each other, but they're not going to be figuring out each other yet until later on in the game. So I say they both come out equally and tie in the first quarter.
Okay, so Ian, you said you kind of agree with a tie?
I was going to lean more towards a tie myself just because I do think that both teams will come out a little bit on edge. Also, like Tarek was saying, trying to feel each other out. But I'm also going to give Miami a little bit of benefit of the doubt. I'm going to say Miami's ahead by 3 after 1.
All right, Estelle, what do you got?
I think if Aaron Gordon comes out like he came out in that game one, just feasting under the basket, making Spo adjust like almost immediately, call those early timeouts like game one, I think they're going to come out with like a 7-point lead, maybe 6 after for the first quarter, especially if Miami like kind of did what the Nuggets did in the first, where like there was like so many air balls in that first quarter of their first home game. I feel like it'll be similar because, you know, you're in front of your fans. Yes, Miami people are late risers and you normally see a lot of empty seats, but they sell out games. So I think that they're going to have all the adrenaline this time, just like the Nuggets had in that game one. So if the Nuggets like keep it simple, keep it in basics, I think that's how they come out hot game one.
Well, and something else I wanted to add to Aaron Gordon and MPJ, they're both getting guarded by guys that are smaller than them. I mean, AG now has the Kevin Love on him, which is a little bit different, but Michael Porter Jr. for the entire game last game was guarded by Max Strus. You think Max Strus can guard MPJ? Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. So I would imagine not even big threes. We're going to see MPJ down in the post, maybe even kicking out a couple passes for threes because he needs to feast early.
Okay. All right. So I think this room kind of thinks that's going to be a close first quarter. Is that what I'm getting from everyone?
I think everybody except for me. I think.
I think I'm kind of with you on this one,
well,
Jack.
Well, no, Estelle was saying that it might be five or six points closer to mine,
but
yeah, I think it's definitely going to be like a sizable lead. Like maybe not something you're super comfortable with, but like not you're not freaking out like a tie or they're down. I don't think they're going to be down.
Okay. So now it's at the end of the half. Okay, who's hot right now? Who's cold for the Nuggets?
Well, I mean, when you get to halftime, that's when I think this game will be closer. I think it'll be like either tied up to 5-point lead for the Nuggets. I think that maybe there's a role player or two in there that has gone cold, such as MPJ, KCP, Aaron Gordon. But I think that the Miami Heat will mostly just chip back there in the second quarter, get some points back, and it'll be a close game going after them. Even when the Nuggets are blowing teams out, it seems like it's close the entire first half. I mean, I know we didn't see that in game two, but for a lot of the games we saw that. So I'd imagine that 10-point lead would probably shrink. We'd get some good basketball in the second quarter, maybe a Miami Heat-dominated quarter, and it'll be a close game.
If I'm being honest, I think the best thing for the Nuggets is to go into the half being down, just so when it comes time for the third quarter, they can come out with that fire. Because, I mean, as you see in game two, they were down and ended up making a great comeback in the third quarter going into the fourth. So I think they do better in the third quarter. I think that's really their quarter. So I say they be down first going into half and then just make the comeback. Like, you don't got to be down by, like, 10 or 15. Just be within 5.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go against that grain simply because I think the Nuggets are going to explode in the second quarter. I actually have the Nuggets up by 10 at halftime.
So we're, like, complete opposites.
A little bit, yes. Wow. But the other thing, though, is just, you know, I don't want to see the Nuggets down at half simply because throughout this entire playoff run, we have yet to be down big at all. And if we go down at all, we have yet to face any adversity in these playoffs. Let's be honest. We've had the healthiest.
I mean, the Suns a little bit.
Not even.
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
Very minimally. But we faced the least amount of adversity leading up to the finals. We haven't had to deal with injuries. We haven't had to deal with, you know, being the lower seed ever.
Yeah, but you're the non-favored team on teams that you're playing that are lower seeded than you. I would say that's a little adversity. But the only thing about
to the same level that Miami is.
No, the only thing about the Sun series is when it went down 2-2, that's when I think the Nuggets faced adversity. And just kind of the Lakers series as a whole. I know they swept it, but there was definitely a lot of adversity there just media-wise.
True, but...
but it's not the same as taking down the top dogs in the East and now trying to take down the top dog in the West, being the 8 seed, not even supposed to be here. I understand what you're
saying. Yeah, that's where I'm at with it, and I don't want to see what the Nuggets do in case we just end up falling behind too far, potentially going down in the series for the first time all playoff long. This is not the right time to be facing that adversity. So that's why I've got the Nuggets. They need to do something big in the second quarter. I can see a good solid 15-0 run probably in the middle of it when they sit, bam, Jokic just takes off.
See, I'm going to disagree with you. I think it's going to continue to be a close game. In terms of the role player that I think is going to go quiet, he's not a role player, but Jamal Murray, I just don't think he's going to have a great start. I think it's going to be one of his casual, what are you doing until the fourth quarter kind of games, where he like he might have like 5 points and he'll explode in the fourth. I also think in my scenario, Aaron Gordon would calm down kind of like he did in that first game where he had all those points, like those 15 points in that first quarter, and then just like disappeared. I think that'll be incredibly similar, but I think the bench will come in. Bruce is going to have probably a better game. I hope KCP has a good bounce back game. So I think it's going to be a 3-point lead for whoever team's leading. I don't know who it's going to be, but I think it's going to be super close. And like, I think it's, yeah, about 3-point lead.
Okay. So third quarter, quick. What's your prediction at the end of the third quarter? Ian, go.
Miami closes the gap a little bit. Nuggets still up by 7.
Okay. Still go. Third period at the end.
Ooh, I think this is where the Nuggets blow it wide open. I think they're going to be up by like 12.
As Stone and I have got the same idea. Me and Ian have got the opposite. Yeah, I think the Nuggets explode here. I think they get some juice and some fire out of Malone at halftime, and they'll be up 10 to 15 points.
Okay. Terry, what do you got?
I don't see this game. I don't see them getting a blowout. I think this is going to be a really close game. So I'm going to say if the Nuggets are to win the third quarter, they're up by 5. I don't see it being a blowout game. I really don't.
Okay. All right. Well, at the fourth quarter, let's go quick. Fourth quarter, who's going to win this game? What's your final predictions? Go, Tyreek.
Like I said, it's going to be a close game. I got the Nuggets winning by, I'm going to say, 3.
Okay. Estelle.
Oh, I think the Nuggets, I think they're going to win by probably 10, just because I think they'll probably claw back a little bit, but I think it's still going to be like a sizable lead where you're like, that doesn't feel right, but it is what it is.
Okay, Ian.
Nuggets 125, Miami 119, Jokic has another triple-double.
I like it.
Me,
Jack, finish
me
it
and
off.
Estelle are on the same wavelength. I think the Nuggets win by 10. Miami, you know, they make a push, but I don't think it's going to be enough this time. I think they're going to keep their sizable lead, nothing super special, like 20 points or something, but win by 10, maybe 8 to 15 points, I guess.
Okay, and when we get back, I give you my final prediction for the fourth quarter, and it might surprise you. We'll see you then. All right, and we are back. Everyone's happy because Nuggets are in the finals, baby. And my prediction between the Nuggets and the Heat for the last score is going to be, drum roll, please. Ian, can you give me a little bit of drum roll? Oh, okay, or that. I was hoping like, blah, blah, blah. Okay, anyway, my prediction is going to be 112 Nuggets, 105 Miami. But to get to that.
7-point lead.
Yep, and to get to that, I think Aaron Gordon, agree or disagree with me, has to score at least 25 points this game.
That's not happening.
No.
That's not happening.
Not
I don't.
25.
When was the last time he scored 25
here's the thing.
Points?
If he goes off for 25,
when he comes out.
Spectacular.
Well, yeah, but I don't think they need him to score 25.
Okay. So let's say this. Let's say he does score 25. Nuggets win or lose.
They win.
Oh, they're going to win.
But I'm saying he only needs 15.
I would say 18.
I would say 15 to 18. And up.
Yeah.
If you get above 15 points, we're pretty golden.
Him and MPJ.
Sure, if he gets 25, that takes some of the weight off the shoulders of another role player. But we have never needed Aaron Gordon
I'm
to get
saying,
25.
I'm saying, just now's the time, I think, him to really he has to win these battles. Like, it's into him. Let's
in that
him
game hard. One where he was so dominant, he had 16 points. Where that, like, dominant first quarter, he had 16 points, and they won by 11.
That was just the first quarter?
Well, no.
That was the game.
That was the entire game. He had 16 points.
Okay.
That was a monstrous first quarter from him, and then he disappears. It's kind of how he goes.
Game two, he only had 7 shots, so that's just, to me, they need to get him a lot more opportunities because that mismatch is there. So, I mean, if he does get 25, cool. But, I mean, I'm expecting maybe 15 to 18 from him.
Same from MPJ. He still had 12 points in that game,
too. Shoot, give me KCP for 12, and then Jamal 20-plus, Jokic 30-plus. We should be fine.
I got a big take on this.
Oh, no.
I do. Whoever wins this game tonight is winning the finals. That's strongly what I believe.
Wow, hot take. Wow.
It's not a hot take because the stats back it up where the winner of game 3 wins 81% of the NBA finals.
Yeah, but
no matter how far it goes.
I think that this is also a different situation. I get that, and that the Heat would kind of be rolling, but I also think that the Nuggets have the power to fight back, and I just think they're better than the Miami Heat. The Nuggets, essentially, if you look at this matchup, the Nuggets should win the series. Does that mean it's going to happen? Absolutely not. The Miami Heat could very well win this series, but I think that if the Nuggets win Game 3, Miami totally still has a chance, and I think if Miami wins Game 3, the Nuggets... Like, I think it's a lot different from past seasons. Mm-hmm. I don't think one of these teams is going to overtake this series unless it's the Nuggets. I don't see Miami controlling this because we saw them lose their lead to Boston in the most similar series. So even if they get this momentum, we've seen them lose that momentum.
We have.
My other counter is that Sun series is the Nuggets were up 2-2, and then Suns won Game 3 and Game 4, and then the Nuggets still cleaned up with in six games.
Right.
So I don't think
this is specifically for the finals.
Oh,
in a 1-1 situation.
Oh, those are incredibly specific stats. How many, like, that's so specific. Like, it's a small sample size, right?
There's been 27 series that have done this. So 21 of the 27 have gone on to win if they win game three in a 1-1 tie.
I just think it's a little different this year.
I think each series is the same thing. It's really hard to predict stats.
I agree.
Look at last season. I'm guessing the Warriors won game three. Mm-hmm. That's the type of series that, whoever wins game three, just because the home field kind of mattered last year. I think it still matters in this one, but I don't think it matters for Miami as much as it does for Denver.
Sure. So. And I'll give you that.
Okay, so now on the Miami side. Sorry, I got a little off track there, but that's fine. Sports is what we do here, and the host is ADHD, so it makes sense to me. Okay?
Squirrel.
I love it, all right? Exactly. Okay, on the Miami Heat side, all right, Jimmy Bucket, who gave him that name here during the finals, which I don't know if it was a good idea or a bad idea or a good timing or bad timing. I wouldn't have done that, but whatever.
Austin Reeves called himself him. So.
That's his story. But okay, so Jimmy scores 30 points.
Okay.
Nuggets are winning or losing?
So Nuggets are winning.
First time this year?
Well, here's the thing. What are the rest of the Heat players doing?
I don't know.
It cannot just be on Jimmy Butler.
Who thinks is going to be play big for Miami tonight?
Gabe Vincent's got to show up. Duncan Robinson, Max Strus. Here's the thing. They went 17-35 from three in game two.
Hasn't done that in this series thus
He
far,
hasn't done so. It since game one of the Boston series. That's the last time he scored 30-plus.
Right, but I mean, you look at all these other role players, they missed a lot of open threes.
So did the Nuggets.
Yeah, exactly. In game one, but they made them in game two. So that's just, it's going to be something to watch. I think even if Jimmy just get to 30, I think it's still going to become more reliant on the role players and how they shoot.
I agree with you, Ian. Like, if Jimmy has 30 and Bam has 30, they have 60 combined, I need to know more. Does Max Strus have a great shooting night? Does Duncan Robinson do it to the Nuggets again? Does Gabe Vincent do it to the Nuggets again? Like, is Kevin Love taking charges and hit threes? Because I sure hope not.
Right.
I mean, I just think the role players on this Miami team matter so much. I don't say give them whatever they want, but, let Bam score in the paint. Let Jimmy have his couple buckets in the paint, too. You really got to watch out from those role players shooting the three, because that's what killed the Nuggets. So, Jimmy, sure, go get your 30, man, but take the L while you walk out the building. That's what I think.
I don't think – oh, you can go.
Oh. I think the three-pointer will determine whether the Heat win or lose tonight. Like you said, they shot 17 – they made 17, and the three is going to determine it. Yeah, Jimmy Butler can get his points, but it also, you have to see what the role players are doing. Even though he doesn't call them role players, which I give him all the respect in the world. He's like, these are my teammates. There's no need to call them role players. So the three-pointer, either you're going to live by it or you're going to die by it. So it's going to be big to see whether they win or lose depending on the three-point.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think it matters. Like, if Jimmy's just shooting twos or he's incredibly, like, inefficient, like Jack said, he hasn't done 30 since game one of Boston, and they've won plenty of games. They've lost plenty of games. So I don't think it's reliant on him. I really think, like Tariq was saying, it's all on the role players, the outside guys, the guys that are not Jimmy, the guys that are not Bam. It's the Strus, it's the Vincent, it's the Robinson. If Tyler Hero, it would be him if he was in. But it's all those guys. How are they making their shots? It's like, if they go off, like, if they all have over 10, over 15, that's how they lose. It's not one guy carrying them since, the first, second round?
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler hasn't really been him in these later rounds. It's true. All been the role players.
And then not only that, just to throw this into the wrinkle too, Tony Brothers is the head official for tonight's game.
I think the Nuggets have won some games while Tony Brothers is there. I think it's going to be fine. I think that people have to get the narrative of the refs out of their mind, because if the Nuggets are going to win, they're going to win. It should not come down to a ref's call. Don't leave it in the ref's hands. Because, yep. You know, he can make whatever call he wants. If you can dominate the game and take it over, it shouldn't come down to a call. So, right. I mean, if you give it to the point where it comes down to a call, Bad calls happen all the time. We see it all over social media.
Game two,
we saw it for the Lakers. There was a bunch of stuff about the Lakers this whole season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been in almost every single series. Oh, the officiating. Don't leave it up to the officials. I get it. They missed a goaltending. They missed an out-of-bounds. They missed it. We can't go back and change that. Maybe the Nuggets would have won the game, but who cares? They lost. It's a 1-1 series. Don't leave it up to the officials. That's also how the Nuggets are going to lose tonight, if they leave it in the hands of the officials.
Sure thing.
The thing I will say is I wonder how much, because the L2M came out for the game two, and the only incorrect missed call, it was a missed call, not an incorrect call, was Bam in the paint. So I wonder if they are going to focus on that tonight, kind of like they started to do with AD in the later games of that series.
Right.
Just because it was on the last 2-minute report, everyone can see it. The officials who are in that game, everyone is probably like, okay. So I wonder if that has any effect on how Bam guards, because everyone sees those reports. They're not hard to find. So I wonder if that has any effect of Bam in the paint specifically kind of being the roamer. That'd be the only thing that I think officiating matters. But like you're saying, don't let it in the hands of the officials.
Yeah, I get that 100%.
Yeah, I mean, the Nuggets got this, I believe.
Okay. So Jimmy is probably, the leader of the Miami Heat. Agree or disagree, he's probably the best player on their team.
He's definitely the best player
for sure.
Team.
Okay. How do you think his personality has been since then they won their championship to now to the NBA Finals? Have you seen him not touch that trophy? How he's been getting short, to-the-point answers, staring at the camera? Is he trying to intimidate some Nuggets players, or is that Jimmy just having his own mindset of a world?
That's him being locked in.
I was going to say, it's just Jimmy Butler being Jimmy Butler. I mean, he's just trying to keep his mind focused on what's coming up, what's next in this series. His mind is focused on winning 4 games, and I think that's what you see out of a competitor. A lot of these guys are the most mentally tough and mentally strong people in the world, just dealing with the media and all these narratives. Jimmy's just trying to keep his head on his shoulders, and he's locked in. He wants to win the finals. So does Nikola Jokic, so does Jamal Murray, so does Bam Adebayo, but Jimmy's a real leader on that team, so he vocalizes a lot better than some of the other guys.
I completely agree with that. Yeah, you're at the point now where you're competing for a championship. It's not easy. You gotta win, be the first person to win, or you gotta be the first team to win 4 games. So I think at this point, he's locked in. He knows that the Heat weren't supposed to be there, and people are doubting and confused on why they're there. But he's just at the point now where he's like, I know what I need to do to get back and try to get a championship. I know 2 years ago or 3 years ago, he was so close. But now he's just like, I'm here again, so I need to prove my point.
Well, and it's like the window of championship, right?
Yeah.
Well, how long is Jimmy's window? Who knows? I feel like the Nuggets window is much larger than the Heat right now. So there's almost a little more hunger in there. And it's like the Nuggets, the whole playoffs, they had this chip on their shoulder for being the underdog. Well, we saw it maybe even more heavily for the Miami Heat the entire playoffs, because they were the underdog. They are the 8 seed. So I totally agree with you, Tariq.
Okay. Anyone have any thoughts or wants to add to that? Okay. Ian, I got a question for you, and everyone open up for discussion, obviously. Is this a must-win then for the Nuggets with that stat you had earlier about third games?
Yes, I had that stat, but I still do not think that it's absolutely a must-win. It's simply we have to take one of these two in Miami. So if we lose this one, we could still bring back home court advantage if we take game four.
It's hard to say that a finals game is not a must-win. I think any finals game is a must-win. But I see your point, Ian, and sure, they don't necessarily have to win this game, but I would look at it as a must-win game. I'd look at every finals game as a must-win game. You want to win 4 first. You must win 4 first. That means you have to get as many wins as you possibly can as quick as you can.
All right, when we get back, I'm going to name the different Nuggets and what Avenger makes me think of them when we get back. All right, guys, we are back. Now, I left off saying the Denver Nuggets and the Avengers. Now, let's start with Nikola Jokic. If he was an Avenger, who would it be? My thought is Iron Man.
I actually have a different thought. I think he is the Incredible Hulk.
Thank you.
Because he is a beast, but he's also think about it. He's both sides of the Hulk, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he's Bruce Banner, but he's also the Hulk. You know, okay. He has the soft side, but he can also
yeah. But he's not angry.
That's because Markieff Morris isn't on the court.
I'm not saying the anger part. I'm just saying the strength.
It's very crucial.
You know?
Hulk is the anger.
He's the strongest guy on the court. But he's also a delicate flower, like Bruce Banner. I think it's Hulk.
I see it.
He's not an Avenger, technically, but Doctor Strange. Always controlling everything.
I like that one.
Okay,
He's been in Avengers movies, technically, but yeah, always controlling everything.
I was going to give that to Michael Malone.
Yeah.
I was going to give Doctor Strange to Coach Malone.
No, see, I'd give that one to
Iron Man.
See,
I could also give the Hulk to Michael Malone.
Yeah. He has the anger for it.
But
okay, I see that.
You don't like me when I'm red.
Okay, so Michael Porter. Oh, Tarek.
I would honestly have to go and agree with the Hulk. I mean, you know, he tries to stay out of the way. He's just like, he wants to be by himself. He wants to be relaxed. And then once you make him mad, you just mess up. But I also agree with the Doctor Strange too, because I mean, he's like the maestro of the team. Like, he'll give you points, he'll give you rebounds, but he'll also give you assists. So,
yeah, I think those are two good characters. If you can master him in one, that's what he would be.
All right, so I'm going to go to Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray?
Who's the bow and arrow guy?
Hawkeye?
Hawkeye. I mean, he's a blue arrow.
So I thought about that one. I would give Hawkeye more to Michael Porter Jr.
That was my other.
Jamal. Long-range assassin.
I'm thinking for Jamal, it's like a... It's either like Iron Man or like Captain America.
I was going to say Captain America.
I like Captain here.
Yeah, I feel like Captain America because... You know,
which is so funny because he's from Canada.
Like, it's almost like he's becoming Captain America, like this strong, consistent warrior that is kind of the meat
of
your team.
Super confident.
Yeah, you need him. Super confident. Because
that's like early Captain America, right?
Exactly.
Like super confident, always believed himself, and then had
like
the transformation.
And it's like this story, the transformation. We saw it before our eyes. He turned into Captain America. That's Bubble
Captain
Murray
Canada.
Equals Captain America.
All right.
Captain Canada.
Yeah. What do you think, Tariq?
I can agree with that one, honestly.
Captain America.
All right. Okay, Aaron Gordon. Okay, my vision is Black Widow. Does all the dirty work.
Aaron Gordon was also a good one for Hulk, man.
I know. I had him really as a Hulk originally.
I also feel like a...
Because when they say Hulk
honestly,
smash, that's what I
honestly,
think
honestly, this one is definitely him. He is Thor.
Yeah.
He's definitely Thor. He's this beautiful, majestic man that just is super powerful. Just like he's powerful in the paint.
Does he have a big hammer too?
I mean, have you seen him hammer down them gnomes?
Yeah. There you go. I love it.
Come on. What flashback to Christmas?
You could say Thor, but if I'm being honest, I'll give him Drax.
Yeah.
Ooh, all right. Okay.
I feel like they're similar characters.
He can sit there and be funny. But once he gets mad, like, you know how Drax can be in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, he has some good quotes too. Like,
who is Gamora?
Like, it's Aaron Gordon just kind of going through life. You kind of forget about him if he like is not there.
And then he shows up when we absolutely need him to. Although I was thinking Jeff Green more for Drax. Showing up
like
the one every
guy.
Now and then.
Yeah. No, I actually really like Thor for Aaron Gordon. I'm imagining
like that
in my head,
too.
And I'm like, this is perfect.
He flies, too.
Needs those blonde locks,
he has beautiful
though,
hair, too.
He feels like a very meditated, chill-out guy. It's kind of who Thor is. Like, he's not a super angry guy. He's just trying to, you know, have peace and love in his life.
Joker called him the soul of the team.
Well, exactly. That just fits Thor.
Okay, all right. I don't have one of those, so I need help with this one. KCP.
Okay, I didn't think – I couldn't think of an Avenger. I could really only think of Yoda. I don't know why. I could just only think of Yoda.
I mean, since you brought up Guardians of the Galaxy, I guess I kind of see him as a Rocket.
See, I thought about that too, but he's not
chaotic enough.
Yeah, there's not enough chaos.
Or maybe like a Spider-Man. He could be a Spider-Man.
I feel like he's not young. Like Christian Brown is Spider-Man, right? Like trying to prove himself super young.
Or Bruce. Bruce could be Spider-Man too. I KCP's a tough one because I feel like I just feel whenever I think about KCP.
See, like Master Wong from like Doctor Strange, like the one who trained
Star-Lord.
It could be too chaotic. Maybe like Gamora.
Well, because here's the thing. Star-Lord is chaotic as all get out. He'll just do whatever he wants, but when it's time to show up, he shows up. Similar to Bruce Brown.
Oh, we're going to Bruce Brown.
Or KCP. KCP.
I'm like, KCP's not chaotic, though.
Well, but here's the thing. KCP will cost the team, but he'll also benefit the team, as evidenced in Game 2.
Yeah, I don't know. KCP's,
but I feel like he's more like
toughest.
A leader. Maybe he's like Iron Man.
I like that. Iron Man. Iron Man's a good one.
Made some mistakes. All of Captain America Civil War,
well,
but yeah.
I'll be honest with you, KCP, next Joker, I think he has the next brightest IQ in basketball.
In all of basketball?
Well, no, not all of basketball, like but on the team Joker, to me, all of basketball, probably the best IQ.
Yeah.
But on Nuggets team, next to him has got to be KCP, because he's actually very smart on positioning
where
he has to be.
Well, I think KCP, Jeff Green, like those guys. Even, I think DeAndre Jordan has some good insight for some of
the younger
guys.
He's just, his body doesn't do it. All right,
Jeff Green, I like you wrote that. Groot.
Groot. No, see, I was going to give that to, I was going to give that one to Christian Brown.
Groot?
Here's the thing.
Yeah, I was going to say Spider-Man.
Up, yeah, I like
bigger,
Spider-Man.
Can do amazing things.
No, because
I nobody think, expects it.
I think Bruce Brown is more Spider-Man. I really do.
I thought we were doing.
Well, I know. Well, yeah. I know.
We were
doing CB, but then they said that.
I see Bruce is more like Star-Lord to me. Because he's like slightly older, but still has that fun energy.
Okay, all right, I dig it.
Still super powerful, like kind of does a lot with a little. Not saying he's like small or anything, but like he like finds those lanes out of nowhere.
He does the most with the minutes that he's getting.
Yeah, like he's coming off the bench. Like I feel like CB is that young, fun kid.
Yeah,
that's what, like, Spider-Man is.
CB. Peter Parker,
yeah, okay.
Spider-Man.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah, I'll give you
Peter Parker.
Spider-Man.
Maybe Miles Morales
okay.
could be more
I have
closer
a crush
to
on both of them.
What? What? What?
So Michael Malone's Doctor Strange, not Nick Fury.
Ooh, Nick Fury could be good. No, I feel like he's the Hulk.
No,
like, you don't like me when I'm angry.
No,
but DeAndre could also be the Hulk, so it's just like half the team could be the Hulk.
Would Ish Smith be Ant-Man?
Yes, that's perfect. It's absolutely
all right. Okay, let's move on. That was the fuck's I meant. Now, Nikola Jokic. Now, I think all of us are kind of from Denver. We're all huge Nuggets, Colorado.
We're a little
fan.
Biased, yes.
Okay,
all
right.
We swing a little bit for the
us here in Denver, Colorado, to be honest with you, I don't think we have a player as great as this ever in this day. I mean, we had Peyton Manning, Jen Elway, but I still think Nikola Jokic tops him by quite a bit.
I think it's tough to put him over Sakic and Elway, but you could put him over Peyton. I do think.
I think Peyton for sure.
I think you could totally
do it. The reason why I'm saying this is because a lot of the national media now are even saying that Joker is possibly the best player in the world.
Yeah, but you also
can we say that John Elway was the best football player in the world?
Well, football's just like it's apples to oranges in that, like, right? Like John Elway in his prime was probably the best quarterback, but you can't.
It
football's
could have been.
Weird.
Yeah, but also like all three of two of those guys brought the first championship of that sport to their team, and now one more has an opportunity. I think you have to get. We gotta wait till the end of Nikola's career to really base it off that. But right now, I think you're a little far fetched on it. I don't think.
I would go ahead and place him top five.
I could actually put him at number three. Maybe put Vaughn three, but
I've got him at four only because I still have an affinity for Todd Helton and everything he did for the Rockets.
I agree.
Yeah, but he never
brought a championship. I can see that, but I would put Nikola over Todd Helton at this point just for his – he's won two MVPs. He brought them to their first finals ever.
Okay.
Todd Helton also brought the Rockies to the first World Series
ever.
Their
only World Series.
He got gypped of his only MVPs, so he doesn't have anything to show for it. So I have Nikola at three on my book. And honestly, I'd maybe have Von Miller over him. But that's a stretch. We'll see. But he's not one. No way he tops Sakic or Elway. There's just no way.
Yeah, those two are locked in.
Did you guys hear the comments of Dame gushing over Joker?
Everybody.
Did you see what Kevin Durant tweeted today? He was like, just leave the man alone. He's going to go home in the off season and ride his horses and swim in the swimming pool. And I'm like, yep, KD gets it.
Well, not only that, he also came out and gave him his flowers, saying
well, it's
none
KD.
Of us should be surprised because, one, they're number one in the West. He's a two-time MVP. Honestly, should have gotten his third.
Well, he's like, KD's like, am I surprised?
Hell
no. And also, it's the same thing with LeBron at the end of that series. He's like, there's not a lot of guys like Jokic. Jokic is, I see myself in Nikola Jokic.
Well, KCP, and you have like Draymond Green had like the same, was like, that was the hardest battle I've ever had.
Well, and you've seen Steve Kerr as well say stuff about, I mean, everybody at this point is coming out about Jokic because they finally learned who he is. We've been so happy humble to have him for all these years and have known since 2018.
How lucky are we as Denver to actually have him that far in the draft pick? And him to this great.
No one knew. No one knew this was going to be this good. Listen to Michael Malone's comments at the beginning of the series, no one knew. This was straight up luck and hard work. Hard work from him and luck from the team, drafting him.
Yeah, because even Josh Kroenke was coming out saying we had no idea that he was going to turn into what he was.
Yeah, they knew he was going to be like a decent player. They didn't know he could lead the NBA in anything.
The basketball gods picked Denver for a reason. They have been here since the beginning. The Nuggets have been in the NBA. Literally, they're one of the original NBA teams. Like, they've been here for so long. And they're like, all right, Nuggets fans, you've suffered for long enough. We tried to give you Alex English. We tried to give you Carmelo Anthony. Just have the damn best. Have Nikola Jokic. Well, nobody's going to know about him. Like, Denver is the best place he could have ever gone.
Okay, well, before we finish, Nikola Jokic, I'm just super ecstatic for him that we have him, because here in Denver, we always had these droughts of bad sport times and everything. Meanwhile, other cities like Lakers constantly winning.
The only one
we've
really had is football, where the Broncos have been the best team.
Yes.
And the Avalanche, I guess you could give them that too.
Yeah, in their early years,
they've
were
won
dominant.
Three.
Jack, can I finish my thought? Thank you. I know you're excited too. I am too. Okay, I'm very hard right now. Anyway, moving on. Super excited for the Nikola Jokic coming. Sorry, I lost your train of thought. How special are we that this has happened? And if he wins this championship, I actually see multiple more rings coming to Nikola Jokic's favor. But when we get back, we're going to talk more about NFL. We want to talk about the NFL cheerleaders and the rules they have. What? They can't talk to the players, the social media, or anything? Man, we'll get to that when we get back. See you guys in a moment. Yep, let's do it. And we are back, and we are live, and we are happy as can be. Did you guys ever dream of being an NFL cheerleader?
No one has?
One girl in here.
And I didn't.
Robin Williams broke the barrier for us, but still, no, I'm good on that.
Well, they have specific rules that they have to follow, like some to mine, I think, too extreme.
Okay.
One of them is that even off duty, they're not allowed to wear sweatpants. Is that a little crazy or not crazy?
I feel like this is team by team. Yeah, and I don't think this is a.
This has got to be a.
This is by AZ Sports. It's
wait,
not a quote
so
right today.
About like, sports? Like, I'm sitting on the couch at home, and let's say my girlfriend's a cheerleader. Mm-hmm. She can't wear sweatpants while we're watching a movie?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, that's not true if you've watched Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders was a hard word. If you watch that show, which is a very insane show, you see them in sweatpants like they're normal people.
that might be like an Arizona Cardinals only thing.
Yeah, it might be a like out in public because you
I
always
see
have
what you did there
team.
Ian
but
they also have to have a certain weight their entire time.
That I can believe.
That also is not true because really? People are again, watch Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, who was like the hardest thing. I think it's you have to be in shape. Like, you can't have like fat on you. But like, people's bodies are different. No offense, a 5'1 girl and a 5'6 girl should not be the same weight.
Correct. You have to be healthily proportioned.
I'm guessing that it's a weight depending on your size, like your height. But that is something I could totally believe.
But it's not everyone the same weight.
It's not like you're a 6-foot cheerleader, you have to be 100 pounds.
Yeah, no 6 foot cheerleader is being a flyer like a 5'1".
No.
First of all, she's 6 foot. She should be playing for the Lakers.
WNBA, baby. Take D'Angelo Russell's.
Okay. Well, someone else, they can't have tattoos or piercing. They can't be seen.
So tattoos can easily be covered up by makeup, but you do notice that with NFL cheerleaders around the NFL.
That's also the same rule at Disney. Like,
wait.
Yeah, you can't have visible tattoos at Disney.
Oh, if you work for Disney. Cast member, yeah. Well, I'm screwed.
You just cover them.
You can never be Mickey Mouse.
Oh, no.
Well, or like, if me. No, it's more of like you're a facing one, like if you have a suit on. But if you're like a facing one, of course, like visible tattoos and then piercings, I'm assuming they all have their ears pierced. It's more like, I bet, like nose piercings.
Either that or do like a flesh colored one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing ears is the farthest they go, but nose, lip, eyebrow,
belly.
Definitely not.
No.
Okay. Not. All right. And another thing, like I mentioned earlier. They must stay away from players at all times. Some teams even require their cheerleaders to block all players on social media.
That seems far-fetched.
Well,
especially
understandable.
I think I can get it.
I mean, I get it.
But I think it's like outside because they have to do team events together. Like how many times are like the Nuggets cheerleaders are like with Nuggets players? Like to do like a public-facing event.
Yeah, like the play 60 things at the elementary schools and
stuff
like that.
I mean, maybe they're really not
supposed to date.
I think it makes sense, honestly, just because.
I know, you for sure cannot date them.
I know you can't date them for sure, because I know there's some players that do what they're going to do. So you're just going to create drama in the facility, and they don't want none of that. So. Well,
and I think that, you know, and it's nothing against the cheerleaders of the world, but I think it's a lot easier to become a cheerleader than a professional sports player. So I also think that they're trying to avoid maybe a fangirl trying to become
Gold
a cheerleader
digger.
So she could become, like, you know, be right next to LeBron James, be right next to Nikola Jokic, be right next to Patrick Mahomes, you know? Like, I can understand to some extent, but, like, if it's zero communication, kind of weird.
Yeah.
I don't know
if they can do their jobs.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, no excessive interaction.
Yeah, I feel like
it's what they're going for.
Yeah. Don't be distracting them during their game.
All right, another rule. They have to buy their own uniforms.
Well, that's just BS.
Actually, it's not because...
Well, no. I mean, like not that that's fake. I just think that's stupid.
Well, no. It's... My girlfriend's sister still has hers.
Really?
Yeah.
They had to buy it outright.
Well, no. I believe it. I just think it's dumb. Why would you have that?
It comes out of your paycheck, I think.
Well, you guys
I mean, granted, they only get paid like $200 a game.
Well, they're billion-dollar teams. You can't pay for a couple cheerleading uniforms? Are you kidding me?
I think they get them at cost. Like, it's not like outrageous numbers, but yeah, they have to buy them. I think it's when you leave the team. Like, you have to
buy them out of cotton.
I mean, I honestly think that being a cheerleader must be one of the worst jobs out there, but that's just my opinion.
Well, the thing is, you can't even call it a job because you're only getting paid max.
Well, you have to have another job. Yeah, exactly.
Well, exactly. You have to have your full daytime job because you're not a cheerleader 24/7, 365 like you are as an NFL player.
Well, and I just think you're getting exploited in a weird way, and I just think being a cheerleader is kind of a bad job to have. not trashing on any cheerleaders. I just think it's not the best situation.
Sure.
But yeah, no, I knew that was a thing where they have to buy their own uniforms.
Just,
that's just stupid
to me. That's just stupid. But whatever.
Well, I mean, everything's also personalized to you.
Yeah,
you
like they
the
can't
team.
Use it for someone else.
True, but like, just you got billions of dollars. drop $1,000 on the uniforms.
Okay.
All right. I got a few more rules.
Uh oh.
Number eight, they have to go specific hair salons to ensure things are being done correctly. They can't have any drastic looks or changes during the NFL season.
Well, so that's true.
That's uniformity.
Yeah, that's...
They don't want you to dye your hair purple.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And specific salons, I bet it's just the ones in the area. Like, they're like,
the
here's
sponsor.
A list of...
Well,
yeah.
And I bet that they have, like, a day that they all go together. Oh, the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders are coming into the salon today.
Yeah,
we're closed, you know?
Yeah, like the salon of the Denver Broncos.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to any of the Broncos games, they're always, like, sponsored by that,
it's
like,
that,
Antoine
Duchesne.
Yeah,
it's a sponsorship, yeah.
Yeah,
tanning places,
gig,
too,
so.
Yeah.
It's a one, we get some, you get some. They probably have some sort of deal for them. You know?
Oh, yeah,
so, yeah that
absolutely.
Makes sense. It's like
I mean, that's free advertising, right?
List,
yeah.
Like,
hey,
it's like
hey,
a recommendation.
I styled the Broncos cheerleaders, boom.
That's a big flex.
Yeah, that's
it
huge,
is.
Especially in this market.
That one makes sense to me.
Yeah, that one makes sense. It's also not too outrageous.
No, some of them have been extremely outrageous.
Well, this next one I think is a little crazy. They have to buy the team calendar and sell it. They are also made to buy 100 copies each to sell.
They're Girl Scouts. Got to sell your cookies.
I don't think that's true because people buy them anyway. I bet it's like they have like referrals and whatnot where they have to like sell a quantity, but I don't think they make them buy them outright.
Yeah, I would agree with that one. And if they do, I mean, ooh, okay, all they have to do is show up, be like, hey, I'm a Broncos cheerleader. Buy this calendar.
Yeah, go to
a high school.
Go to a dorm room and knock on every door. Hey, would you want to buy this from me?
They buy them by the bulk.
Yeah, I bet you they would. I bet you they would.
How many students are staying here?
7. I bet it's more like it's a quota, one-bedroom. Like a we referral thing.
Yeah.
Okay. They have to have white teeth, perfect nails and hair, exact amount of makeup, and the correct tan are some of the aspects that cheerleaders should be on top of on a daily basis.
So, again, uniformity.
Yeah, it's like the hairstyle makes sense. Like the nails, I bet they have like sense. Hair. I bet it's not like it's like, oh, your hair has to be curled today. It's probably not like this strand of hair goes here, and then like nail. It's like look presentable. Like don't have.
Yeah, exactly. Nails have, and whatnot. Have neutral color nails.
Well, and
or
they
whatever.
Want them to match and stuff. And
exactly.
This is the job you sign up for. If you want to do it, you can do it. I would never.
And then the same with like the tan. It's probably like.
Depending on the person.
Yeah, and you know, they've been cheerleaders. I'm guessing this isn't the first time they've had rules like this implemented.
Yeah, a lot of them like start at like either lower levels or they were like dancers in high school.
Or college.
College,
know.
Things like that. Like a lot of NFL ones start as like NBA ones.
So sure, it might sound outrageous to us, but I bet it's kind of normal for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, okay. I don't think it's that outrageous. To think
I don't
about.
Think
that one's not
that
bad.
Outrageous. No. All right. There's a couple.
Like weight is one where I'm like.
This one, this next one's not too bad to me. They have to remain standing at all times.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That one makes sense to me. Just like security.
This one, this one would bug me.
If they're out on the field, then yeah, you're on the job.
Yeah.
You can't sit down and
unless you're at like a signing table.
You can't lay down courtside. You know.
Those make sense. That one's okay. Like if you're performing, you're standing. This is a normal thing.
All right. They have to avoid touching makeup and clothes while on the field.
That's again, same thing with the, on that's the your field. Uniform, you know. You're wearing
just,
your
I mean, if there's a bug in your face, sorry, too bad.
Yeah, you got to, you know.
Either that or one of the other girls will come over and be like,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay.
I mean, you got to
follow. It's just kind of, these are kind of like uniform regulations. I mean, your appearance,
that's exactly
your
what
face, your hair, your teeth, your eyes, it's all part of your uniform when you're a cheerleader.
Last but not least, no underwear when wearing uniforms.
Whoa. Well, they wear something.
What?
It's probably no visible underwear.
Maybe they don't want like
non-neutral color.
Where's Quagmire like, when I need him?
Like no seamed underwear.
Well, you could have that, but it's like don't like visible underwear would be my whole thing. If they wear something, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, there's no way that they're like, just making them go commando.
Yeah.
Oh hell no, they're not.
No way.
They have tights on for sure.
Or like spandex maybe or something like
well,
that.
Well, maybe not spandex because it'll come a little low, but tights for sure. Most because it's a way to. Keep guys from touching. I don't need to know how deep we need to go into this, but like most cheerleaders that I know have worn always wear tights under their uniforms.
Yep, keeping it honest.
All right. How much time do we have left?
We got about 1.5 minutes.
Okay, let's just get into it. All right, Messi's coming to Miami. That is a huge win for Miami, even though they're going to lose to the Nuggets in the Heat. But that's pretty big for MLS all around, isn't it?
I mean, it's the biggest thing that's ever happened to the MLS.
For sure, especially I mean, having a player in their prime. Well, and Mexico, well, Messi is going to Florida, which has a lot of like immigrants and whatnot, so it'll be huge
the
for them.
Community.
Well, and
yeah, that Latin community is going to be on fire.
You got one of the best athletes in the world. Some call him the best athlete in the world because soccer's so popularized in other
probably
countries.
Probably one of the most famous.
This is the most famous person that's ever played. I know Beckham played in the MLS, but Messi is way more famous than David Beckham.
And in his prime.
And
Beckham was not in his prime.
Coming off of a World Cup as well. I mean, Miami could probably care less tonight about the game. I think there's probably way more soccer fans in Florida than there are basketball fans.
I think there's a prime strategy for this. So, as someone that watches soccer a lot, I think the reason why Messi went to Inter Miami, is so that it would be cheaper, or Miami can pay for him for if he gets loaned over to Barcelona. Mm-hmm. So Barcelona doesn't have to spend all the money to sign him because
that's what he said.
They're in financial trouble as it is. and it'll be easier to register him, and Miami would be paying for his contract, not Barcelona. So
it's a win-win.
It's a win-win. It's a win-win. I'm all for it. Money making the world go round.
Yeah, I mean, he even came out and said, like, I don't want to jeopardize the future of Barcelona by signing the biggest contract ever because you know he's going to get it. So I'm sneaky thinking, Tariq, but I like it.
I'm all for it.
Well, I'm excited about it, especially someone that doesn't watch soccer. But now since he's coming, I might actually watch soccer, specifically Miami. But other than that, on a count of three, guys, can we all get a Go Nuggets to finish up the show?
Go Nuggets.
All right, you guys ready?
Oh.
Oh, no, on a count of three.
On a count of three.
And then no, you might want to have some more enthusiasm.
On three or after three?
Estelle doesn't care.
Two, okay, all right. Okay, I'll count one, two, three.
Go Nuggets!
And that's a wrap, guys.
Weak.